Okay, we're going to now move further down the table and hear from Karn Ross, who runs an organization called Independent Diplomat. And for 15 years, he was a diplomat in the British Foreign Service. Karn.
Thanks, Micah. I should explain just a tiny bit more about me. I resigned from the British government over the Iraq War. I was Britain's so-called Iraq expert at the UN Security Council dealing with weapons of mass destruction and sanctions for 4.5 years from 1997. Independent Diplomat is an organization that advises governments and in some cases liberation movements around the world on how diplomacy works. So I still very much work in the world of diplomacy. Several points to make. First, those who claim that the data in these cables are minor or not remarkable are very, very wrong. Rick Hertzberg made that claim this week in The New Yorker. Esther Dyson just suggested that too. The revelations are remarkable and in some cases game-changing. For instance, the revelation that the US is conducting aerial reconnaissance of Lebanon at the request of the Lebanese government is extraordinarily, potentially destabilizing for Lebanon right now. So don't claim that it's nothing particularly new. Other revelations, such as the point-blank refusal of Karzai to deal with corruption, or the discussion between General Petraeus and the Yemeni president of how to bomb targets in his own country. These are extraordinary revelations. Second, it's not yet proven that the cables have caused harm to US servicemen or officials or civilians, as the US government is claiming, but undoubtedly there is serious and major harm to US interests worldwide. It's absurd for WikiLeaks or frankly the New York Times to claim that the process of redaction that they've subjected these cables to somehow removes the possibility of harm. The world is not a chessboard, it is a complex system. You make a big change in one piece of the forest, this is going to ramify in many different ways across the forest, including far away, in ways that are good and bad, but above all, unpredictable. Third, governments are responding by locking their data tighter, but there's a fundamental paradox and contradiction in doing this, because governments need to share information. They can't operate by word of mouth. In order to be effective diplomatically, your diplomats have got to know what's going on. One of the reasons the good diplomatic services share everything that's sensitive amongst their operational staff. One of the reasons the UN is not effective is because nothing sensitive is shared within the UN Secretariat, because everything is leaked. So if governments are to remain effective, they've got to share data amongst themselves, which means that they will remain vulnerable to WikiLeaks in the future. Fourthly, I'm surprised at those who claim that governments need secrecy in order to operate without knowing what it is that governments are keeping secret. I worked on very sensitive issues, including Afghanistan, Iraq, terrorism, for many years, and far too much is kept secret. Secrecy does not promote good policy making. I worked a lot on Iraq, on sanctions on Iraq. This was a very bad policy that caused immense harm to the civilian population of Iraq. I've no doubt that if that policy had been conducted under greater public scrutiny, it would have been a better policy. The argument that congressional or parliamentary scrutiny are adequate checks and balances on our governments doesn't stand up to scrutiny. I have testified to Congress and to the British Parliament many times, but I testified only after I resigned and only after my government knew about me. Sorry, after the Parliament knew about me. Before I resigned, when I worked on all of these issues, I was never scrutinized or questioned by parliamentarians or people in Congress, or frankly, to any adequate degree by journalists. Fifthly, this is perhaps one reason why WikiLeaks exists. Another is that, of course, people feel that government has not told them the truth, particularly over the last few years in the war on terror, Iraq, Afghanistan, and all the rest of it. People are right to think that. I resigned from the British government because it lied about its reasons for going to war and had ignored available alternatives to war, which is a fundamental duty of government. If governments did not lie, then WikiLeaks would not be so potent. One hope of all of this is, of course, that governments will draw the conclusion that the permanent risk of being WikiLeaked means that they need to more closely align what they're doing in private with what they're saying in public. I don't think that's a necessarily certain result from all of this. One can only hope that it will be. If that is the result, then it is a positive benefit. My final point is that if WikiLeaks is to continue, as we can assume it will, other WikiLeaks are already emerging, we need to develop a new discourse of the responsibilities that WikiLeaks and other leakers must bear. It's clearly insufficient for them to say, governments lie, therefore everything we leak and everything we do is morally legitimate and correct. That is not an adequate response. If you have information, as WikiLeaks does, you have power. With power comes responsibility. That responsibility includes many things, to do no harm, for instance, which they've demonstrably not done in this case. But it also is implies a responsibility to understand the data which you're demanding access to. It is entirely legitimate for the public to demand to know more of what governments are doing in the foreign policy realm. But with that demand must come a consciousness and an imperative to understand the data better. The world is a very complicated place. International relations is very complicated. And to demand access to it, you must also respect and try to understand that complexity. Thanks.